We're glad you can be with us on Tuesday. It's Current State on 90.5 WKAR. The strongest federal carbon reduction standards to date are being met with mixed reactions here in Michigan. Yesterday, the Environmental Protection Agency issued, of course, the final version of its Clean Power Plan. That plan requires carbon emissions to be cut by 32% from their 2005 levels by the year 2030. The federal government is allowing each state to determine its own carbon reduction strategies. Here in Michigan, environmental groups are applauding the plan. They say reduced carbon emissions will improve health and create clean energy jobs. Other groups are skeptical of the plan. They're concerned the reduction targets could close essential power plants, cost jobs, and disrupt the reliability of the nation's energy system. Our first two guests today are sounding that note of caution toward the EPA plan. Andy Such is Director of Regulatory and Environmental Policy for the Michigan Manufacturers Association. Andy, welcome.
Good to be here.
Also with us by phone, Frank Macchiarola, the Executive Vice President for America's Natural Gas Alliance. Frank Macchiarola, welcome.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Andy, the Clean Power Plan is designed to cut carbon emissions from power plants by 32%. Apparently, it'll be left up to each state as to how those cuts are made. How much input into this state process will your organization, the Michigan Manufacturers Association, be making? Do you intend to play a real role?
We do, and we have. Michigan has a delegated authority to run the air program. The federal air program is run in the state as a delegated program, which means that we have to check with Region 5 in Chicago for everything we do, et cetera. And it also has what's called a state implementation plan, and that state implementation plan is what they're talking about. How are we going to actually do this? And we as a stakeholder, along with environmental groups and others, will participate in those discussions.
Frank Macchiarola, you represent the natural gas industry. Does your organization see a particular role to play as this law is enacted?
We sure do. As this rule is implemented in Michigan and in other states around the country, we're going to make sure that we talk to both regulators and the public and let them know that natural gas stands ready and positioned well to be the best fuel source to meet the mandates under this rule.
Andy Such, back to you. Do you intend to make particular recommendations, or is it just too early in the game to go there?
It's really too early for us, and we really don't care what, I mean, we're concerned, of course, because of we're concerned about costs, but whether it's coal or natural gas or wind or solar or whatever, or energy efficiency, which is one of the methods of cutting costs, no matter what it is, we're concerned about two things: reliability of energy for our manufacturers and the cost of that energy. And reliability is a huge factor. When we hear discussions about, well, maybe we can shut your assembly line down for a couple of hours during the day, that doesn't work. And it's very, very difficult to do.
So there is a way not to respond to this, I guess, is what you're implying,
right?
At least. How don't we respond to this in the state of Michigan?
Well, we don't want to start making snap decisions. We don't want to make decisions based on anecdotal information. We want to make decisions based on what the facts are. How much of energy are we using? What's going to happen when we shut down these 9 coal-based plants that here in Michigan that are in the process of being shut down right now for a variety of reasons, some regulatory, but I'm not one of those people that says everything's a regulatory problem. These are very old plants, and in some situations they need to be changed, either changed over to, as the other guest has suggested, to natural gas or to some other fuel source, but right now they're burning coal.
Frank Macchiarola, let me ask you the same question. What particular recommendations do you think states maybe ought to consider making, and is there a way not to go about this from the state-by-state basis?
Look, each state is unique, and each state has a different portfolio mix and a different infrastructure and a different storage capacity, and there are a lot of different factors that play into this, but But our perspective is, you know, and very similar to Andy's in the sense that, look, number one, we think reliability is essential to a fuel mix. We think cost effectiveness is essential. We think diversity is an important part of a portfolio mix. But we think natural gas actually provides benefits across all of those considerations. And I also agree that it's not simply the regulatory environment. In fact, more importantly, frankly, are the market conditions that have driven power generation toward greater utilization of natural gas. In fact, this past April, you saw for the first time natural gas surpassed coal as the largest fuel in the fuel mix for power generation. And I don't think, though it's the first month, I don't think it's going to be the last because of the competitive nature of the fuel.
Well, what I'm hearing you say, Frank, is that, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, your organization has already benefited from the broader move away from coal. You could conceivably benefit more as a result of these regulations. There's no
question that our organization has benefited from the decision that many states around the country have made to utilize greater use of natural gas in the power generation space. But again, I would caution that's primarily due to a regulatory environment. It's due to a vast abundance of natural gas that we have in this country. It's seen a 40% increase in production over 10 years. It's due to the fact that natural gas is a reliable fuel source. It's baseload generation. And yes, it's due also due to the environmental benefits of natural gas, not just half the reductions of CO2 than other fuels, but reductions across the board, NOx, SOx, particulate matter, mercury. I mean, so you balance both those environmental and economic concerns, and that's principally why natural gas is increasing its market share and diversifying our fuel mix.
We're talking today about the new Clean Power Plan just finalized by the Environmental Protection Agency and what it may mean for Michigan. My guests are Andy Such, Director of Regulatory and Environmental Policy for the Michigan Manufacturers Association. You just heard from Frank Macchiarola, the Executive Vice President for America's Natural Gas Alliance. Andy, back to you. You mentioned reliability. Go a little deeper there with us. What concerns do you have about the reliability of power generation under this plan?
At the risk of sounding like I'm getting on the natural gas bandwagon, there are a couple of things that must be pointed out. Michigan has a tremendous gas production right now. We have vast storage areas because of our geology. Much of the area where we've taken natural gas out of the ground, we can put it back into the ground and store it there, and we do right now. One of the reasons that we've been able to keep lower prices for natural gas for heating in the winter is because we have these storage opportunities. So we have a couple of, and when Frank talks about baseload, what he's talking about is those are the power plants that run 24/7 that can be geared up to make sure that there's power available. And that's the reliability that we're talking about. When you look at renewable, the difficulty with renewable energies, both solar and for wind, is the storage. And it can go down the grid when you're producing it, but it isn't always produced when you need it. And so natural gas is right now a low-cost fuel at the present time, and it's reliable. And it can make the transfer, because it generates heat just like coal does, it can make the transfer over when you're converting a plant more readily.
And Frank Macchiarola, do you feel that natural gas plays a role in the reliability concerns that Andy Such has just shared?
Well, I couldn't have said it any better. Natural gas does provide all of those benefits and conditions that Andy referred
okay.
to. But
right.
on the reliability side, no question, natural gas has been able to provide reliable fuel for power generation.
Got it. Okay. Broadly, Andy Such, broadly, how do your members get their electricity? Is it mainly
They get it from the utilities, which also are members of our company, of our association. But generally, it's Consumers Energy or DTE providing it through the grid. And some buy it by choice off of the grid at, from other locations. But by and large, 90% of our manufacturers in Michigan get it from their utility provider.
A consumer's spokesman, I heard on the way in today, comment that consumers is, for one at least, is in a generally a good position to be able to adapt to this framework.
Oh, they are, and I'll tell you why the utilities are. Mark, we've known this is coming. Mm-hmm. You know, it would be irresponsible to their stockholders and to the people that they send energy to on a daily basis, both households and businesses, if they hadn't been planning for this. And yes, they can make the conversion and they can make the changes that are necessary, but it's going to put pressure in the marketplace. And anytime you put pressure in the marketplace, there's questions about reliability and about the costs, and that's our concern.
A question for both of you. I'll go to Andy with this first, and then you, Frank Macchiarola. Do you expect the plan will trigger the closing of up to possibly hundreds of coal-fired plants across the country?
Well, we've already identified, consumers and DTE have already identified 9 plants that are going to be closed in Michigan. But that identification was made a couple of years ago, and they've been talking about it. They have not given us when these various plants are going to be shut down, but they're putting them into that kind of situation. So, yes, I think that states that might not have anticipated this, and I can't imagine a one, but, yes, there's going to be some closures. But to blame it entirely on the regulatory scheme, I don't think is responsible. It is a factor. There's going to be jobs lost. We've had a number of people talking about the number of jobs. I don't know how many might be lost, but I can tell you, I fight for every manufacturing job in the state. And, you know, we lost 500,000 over the last 15 years here in Michigan, and we're slowly coming back, adding about 120,000 since the recovery. And so I want to continue to add to that. And part of that is that reliable, affordable electricity, and that's going to be very important. But, you know, I want to say this. This is part of an overall air quality situation that's existed in Michigan for some time. And just in June, if you remember, we had announcements by the EPA that they're going to ratchet down parts per million with regard to air quality. Right now, we're working hard to get to 75 parts per million. The EPA would like us to cut back in Michigan down to 60, although it's going to be 65, maybe it's going to be 70. We certainly would like to see it there. But that, combined with this effort by the president to eliminate greenhouse gases, is going to put additional pressure. So it's not just this particular set of regs with regard to greenhouse gases, but that combined with ozone ratcheting down. Michigan is in attainment. In other words, we're meeting the federal standard right now in all 83 counties. If we ratchet down ozone to 60 parts per million, there won't be a county in the entire state. And that includes like Sini, you know, up in the Upper Peninsula, that's going to meet the attainment.
Mm. Frank Macchiarola, is the natural gas industry large enough and productive enough to take over, assuming coal drops off? I mean, are there enough reserves nationally? Do you need more infrastructure?
Well, look, we have an abundant supply of natural gas. And to put that in perspective, we have, based on government and private estimates, we have anywhere between 2,800 and 3,800 trillion cubic feet of natural gas at today's technology, recoverable at today's technology, which means we use about 27 trillion cubic feet of natural gas a year, which means about multiple generations worth, over 100 years worth of natural gas. We have that gas in supply basins and in areas around the country, including the Marcellus Shale in Pennsylvania and the Utica in Ohio. We have natural gas in Michigan. In fact, we have 31 states where we're producing natural gas right now.
Okay, so it sounds fairly promising. We've just got a few seconds. I've got one more question for Andy Schutz.
Sure.
The Attorney General is indicating he might join a class action lawsuit against this move. Do you see the Michigan Manufacturers Association backing a move like that?
We may. I don't know. I think you're going to see a lot of litigation because, frankly, the Administrative Procedures Act, which governs how rules are taken up and considered, has been kind of cast aside during this this effort, and I think the president's really more politically motivated here than anything else, and so he's not following all the rules. So that's what the kind of challenges that we're going to see. It's not so much the content, but it's the timeline. It's you know, what we're going to eventually do. It's the process and the procedures.
We got to leave it there. We want to thank our guests, Andy Such, Director of Regulatory and Environmental Policy for the Michigan Manufacturers Association. A thank you as well to Frank Macchiarola, Executive Vice President for America's Natural Gas Alliance. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.